Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mouse Ears Podcast, where we talk about all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys Travel.
And welcome back to another wonderful episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. We have the full team here tonight. First, I am Brooks, one of your wonderful co-hosts. And with me, we have the birthday boy, Kelton. Kelton, how are you doing?
Hey, it's good to be back, especially. I'm surprised Casey let me actually podcast tonight with it being my birthday.
So thank you, Casey. Well,
shout out to her.
And we have Steph. How are you doing, Steph?
I'm excited.
And we have a very special guest on the Mouse Ears Podcast tonight. We have our first West Coaster. We have Kirsten McFeely. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Great for you to be here. So before we dive into our topic tonight, which is going to be Downtown Disney at Disneyland. So, you know, works out that we have a West Coaster to cover that. We're going to jump right into our new news. And we have, as our birthday present to you, Kelton, we're going to let you read the new news.
So, you know, Kelton, I can't do it in the voice that you do, though. I don't have that news anchor voice. Like, I can't do like a whoosh and have
you
the
just
hair
flipping. You just did it.
So, okay, let's go ahead and dive in because I know. Universal Orlando came out with a nice little teaser for us on my birthday. It's like they knew for their Universal Stella Nova and Terra Luna resorts opening. Stella Nova opens January 21st, 2025. Terra Luna opening up February 25th. What I like about these, and I don't know if you guys have read, I caught it this morning. Unlike Disney, you can actually send your merchandise back to the resort. So Universal's still doing that. So shout out to Universal for them. Second thing, for the first time in forever, no, has nothing to do with Frozen. D23 is hosting a second event this year in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I'm telling you, I think that'd be great to go to. But it's going to be in November on the 8th through the 10th. Should be interesting to kind of see what they're saving for, to be shared in Brazil. I'm almost thinking we might get some more information on what's happened in like the Animal Kingdom area, the retired Dinoland, kind of things like that. I don't know if you guys saw, but on the Imagineer page, they did release a couple of little things. So I guess we're not going to hear about it in September in Disneyland. So Steph, sorry about that, since you guys are planning to go, but we'll have to wait until we hear about it in November from Brazil.
I'm still holding out hope we'll hear about something in August that'll be, you know, exciting.
Well, I mean, speaking of that, I mean, they've tossed the Star Cruiser name around again.
I know. Like, when Josh D'Amaro mentioned it recently, like, hey, we're learning and you have no idea what we have in store.
I will give Disney, you know, give them the credit where credit is due. They tried something new. It didn't work. The clientele they were going after just wasn't willing to spend $5,000 on average, $5,000 for a 2-night excursion. You know, I would have loved to. I didn't have adult money at the time. Still really don't, but that's
no,
okay.
We don't have it for that amount of time, but I have high hopes for what they might bring in the future. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so do I. It should be good. Moving right along, if any of you are Muppet fans, DAS updates have come through, and boy, are they have some changes coming on. So I know a few episodes back, we had our friend Jen Turlington come on and talk a lot about what goes on for the DAS program and, you know, to get that DAS pass. However, about 80% of that went out the window. So we're planning to have her back on. So stay tuned for that. The new and updated DAS system will roll out in Walt Disney World in Orlando on May 20th of this year, and over in Disneyland for you West Coaster people, June 18th, 2024. So that should be exciting. It'll be good to have Jen back on. We can kind of dive into some of the changes there. Oh, and then yesterday, the long-awaited restaurant that was closed for 4 years and a month, 1900 Park Fair over at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, has reopened. And actually, I know we had our agency was down in the Orlando area actually attending a Universal Orlando fam trip or familiarization trip. And I do know some of our agents did get to dine at 1900 yesterday and today. So that's pretty darn cool there. Some of the new updated characters they have there. So Cinderella, you got Aladdin, Maribel, and Tiana are all meeting at 1900 Park Fair. For all you foodies like the Us on the Mouse Ears podcast, this is the location of the all famous strawberry soup. I have never had it. Not sure how I feel about it. Anybody? Has anybody had it before?
Yeah, I don't know how I personally feel about strawberry soup. I'm pretty adventurous, but I don't know about that.
Have you guys ever had? Go ahead.
Years ago on a cruise, they had this chilled sweet soup. And it was delicious. So I can imagine it could be a win.
It could be tasty. I think we need to make a trip and try it.
I'd try it.
We keep saying that though, but nothing ever happens. So maybe one of these days, right? If you've tried it, let us know. Tell us your thoughts. I kind of figured it would be chilled as well, with it being a fruit. So we'll have to see on that one. Last item for the new news. Coming on down, the VI pass holder days will be running in Walt Disney World from May 1st to June 18th. Disney has announced that this will include a pass holder exclusive lounge in the Morocco Pavilion at Epcot. And of course, surprise character visits. So if you're a pass holder, Brooks, Steph, Kirsten, I don't know if you're a pass holder for Disney World, maybe Disneyland, but...
Not currently, but... In the future, I'll definitely have to do that again.
Well, you guys will have to tell me how it is, because I'm not a pass holder anymore. Sad. COVID killed me on that one. But this area is going to be a really nice place for pass holders to relax, recharge yourself and your phones. Disney's also going to offer complimentary snacks, water, like I said, charging stations. It's a limited time experience, which will be open daily from noon to 8. That is all the new news from the Mouseears podcast. I am Kelton. Back over to you, Brooks.
Thank you, Kelton, for that wonderful...
I forgot to do the earpiece thing.
I mean, people think that, you know, it's easy doing the new news. It is a very difficult task. But you did very well, Kelton.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Yes. So, like I said, we're going to talk about Downtown Disney here on the podcast tonight. But before we get into that episode, like I said, we have a special guest on, and we would like for her to just tell a little bit about herself. She's a fellow FTJ agent. Kirsten, take it away.
All right. Well, I am definitely a Disneyland girl. I was born and raised in Southern California, so 45 minutes up the freeway, and there we were at Disneyland. My husband and I, we went when we were dating. We actually got engaged at Disneyland, right by Snow White's Wishing Well. So it's one of my favorite places. We try to get back as often as we can, take our kids. I've been with FTJ for a little over 2 years, And I'm also a teacher and a mom. And yeah, I love all things Disney.
So your hands are full.
My hands
teacher,
are
teacher, mom, travel agent, Disney fanatic.
All the things.
You fit right in.
Yep. Lots of hats.
I love it. So you're the expert for today's episode, because unfortunately, neither Kelton, Brooks, nor myself have had the pleasure yet to go to Disneyland Resort in California. So this episode is definitely going to be you teaching us, teaching our audience, and it's going to be so much fun.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm thoroughly looking forward to this episode and learning more about Disney, about Downtown Disney. So with any area that we cover, we like to dive into a little bit of the history. So with Downtown Disney, unlike Walt Disney World, Disneyland Resort did not get its own downtown district until 2001. I did not know that. This was the same year that Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Disney's California Adventure theme park opened. So, I mean, as I would say, it's pretty safe to say that 2001 was a pretty big year for the California locals who love Disney. Downtown Disney in California was a similar concept to the Downtown Disney of that time in Walt Disney World. After its huge success with guests, minus the nightclub, so it really didn't have that Pleasure Island area. The biggest challenge was size, because with Disneyland Resort is a lot smaller than Walt Disney World. To accomplish all that they did at Disneyland Resort, Imagineers reutilized some of the parking spaces to accommodate these three necessary additions. Although a lot of the same stores and eateries remain from its opening, just like with Walt Disney World, with Disney Springs, Downtown Disney has evolved some through the years since, because there's new places to shop at, there's new places to eat, and it continues to be a popular destination for traveling guests and locals. And you can eat, shop, and experience a taste of Disney without a theme park ticket. Hours of operation at this time, because when we were looking into it, it didn't show future, just showed the day of. So it is currently currently opens at 7 a.m. and it closes at 1 a.m. So it stays open most of the time.
It's a lot longer than Disney Springs, because Disney Springs, yeah. I mean, even if these hours fluctuate, which I'm sure they do depending on the season, depending on the weekday, but Disney Springs, it opens at 10 a.m. This is open from 7 a.m.
So you can get,
right, you're right, exactly, like stores and everything. You can actually get breakfast. Like, you know how many times I've gone to Disney Springs hoping to get Joffrey's coffee at like 8 in the morning before I go to the parks? And it's closed until 10. It sucks. So that is awesome that it's actually open that much earlier over at Disneyland Resort. That was something really cool that I found out about.
I think that Walt Disney World needs to open a Waffle House on property for that, just for that reason. So it can open. Can you imagine?
Smothered and covered all day. God, I love you some Waffle House.
With Mickey Waffle designs or without Mickey Waffle designs?
It's on property, so with Mickey Waffles.
They partner with McDonald's. They can partner with Waffle House.
Yeah. I mean, the Jonas Brothers did it. Why not Disney?
True.
I mean,
Kirsten, do you have a place that you love to eat breakfast at Disney? Or sorry, Downtown Disney. That's gonna get me the name change. Oh yeah. Gosh.
You know, usually we're running in. We in the past we ate at the Bowden, but it's one of the places that has closed. But you can grab a Jamba Juice. So that's a quick an easy breakfast spot and then head into Jolly Holiday. And that's where our favorite in-park breakfast is. So I would probably do Jamba Juice, get in there and do rope drop and then get the croissant breakfast.
Okay. So you mentioned rope drop.
Yeah.
I'm dying to know, because from what I was reading online, you can walk there and you can park your car, but there's no bus system. And if you've heard our episodes, we love Disney transportation. Right. So is it really that close of a walking distance from the parks to the on-property resorts? How accessible is it?
It's so accessible. So that's the thing, that when you get to Disneyland, you're going to be amazed at how close everything is, because it is a lot smaller. Once you're on property, you've got Disneyland and DCA facing each other. And then Downtown Disney's just basically like the corridor in between. And then you head that way to get to the hotels. So yeah, you don't need any transportation. If you are staying on site, you are there and everything's walking distance. If you are off site, then you want to get something that's close enough, or there's the art bus, or of course Uber or something like that, to get you there faster.
So we talked about the kind of location with the downtown district, and mentioned that is within walking distance of Disney's California Adventure Park, Disneyland Park, and the Disneyland Resort Hotels. So with the parking with Downtown Disney, from what I can see, you can actually enjoy 3 hours of parking when you make a $20 minimum purchase and receive validation from any Downtown Disney location, including the quick service restaurants, merchandise locations, and kiosks, or up to 5 hours of parking with validation from any of the Downtown Disney table service restaurants. Beyond these validations, each additional hour costs $14, charged in 30-minute increments, with a minimum of $7 charge after the initial 15-minute grace period. Additionally, the maximum daily parking and lost ticket fee is $56. Parking is subject to capacity.
I have to ask, have you ever driven there? Have you ever parked there? How is that situation?
That was literally what I was about to ask.
That's a good
question. I read your mind, Brooks.
I am just all confused with looking at Disney Springs or Downtown Disney on Google Maps here. I'm all confused. So
I'm trying to remember where we parked last time, because honestly, we usually at this point fly in Santa Ana or Long Beach, take an Uber or ground transport straight to our hotel, and then we're just there. So, but last year
don't know the answer. It's all good. No real worries.
And we did park in the parking structure. My husband was driving, so we parked in the parking structure. We went down these steps, hopped on a little. I'm forgetting the word. Tram.
That we love parking trams.
Yes, the parking tram. And then we were in. Goodness. But I don't have a lot of experience with that, because I'm usually at the hotel parking there or just flying in.
I'm all types of confused.
Right? I'm a little upset that they charge for parking as much as they do, but I guess maybe because the whole property ownership is a little bit different than what they have at Walt Disney World, where it's their own special district at California. It's a little bit different. They have West land. I don't think this is a special district, because they don't even have that much land to begin with. So it makes sense to have parking fees, but yikes.
If you're parking for the day and you're going to the parks as well, then there's the Mickey and Friends. And I believe that's the one that's closer that we parked at. And then there are the Toy Story lots, which are further away, where you hop on a bus and it takes you in to the parks. But if you're on property or if you're already at a hotel, that's just if you're there for the day, parking for the day.
Do they get busy? Sorry, Brooks.
Yeah, I mean, definitely at early on in the day, you're going to have more crowds. Usually at night, it's not too bad.
Last question. Do you know, I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but like my mind just goes, whoo, when we do these episodes. So can you park at the downtown Disney parking space and still go to the parks? Like you, that's like the parking space for anyone in the public, basically.
So as Brooke said, you're going to pay a lot more for the day. So you wouldn't want to do that. You would want to park in Mickey and Friends or Toy Story for the day if you're going to be there all day. Park open to park closed type thing. Yeah. Because they want to keep that some of that downtown Disney parking open for the people that are just coming for, you know, the Lego store or a meal or entertainment or something like that.
Yes. And reiterate too, like these parking prices, this for downtown Disney, it's not for the parks. But I mean, it sounds like if you're going to go to downtown Disney more than a couple of days, just get a room at one of the resorts and save a good amount of money on parking.
For sure.
What it sounds like to me.
Yeah, it's you'll pay parking at the Disney on-site hotels, but it's less than you would pay for sure at downtown Disney.
I would hope it's less than $56. I mean,
so. Where do you stay and to when think you go?
We complain about the $30-some at Universal. Yeah. Sorry.
My favorite place is to stay on site. We've stayed at the Disneyland Hotel. We're going to be staying at my husband's dream hotel, which is the Grand Californian, in November for his birthday. Thanks. And off site, you know, there's some that are right across the street on Harbor. Best Western Park Place is right there. Down the street a little bit, the Spring Hill Suites, we've done that. They have a good breakfast with Mickey waffles. So that one's always a hit with my kids. You know, a little more budget friendly. But if you can stay on site, of course, you're fully immersed in Disney. You're not walking past anything that's not Disney. You're just, yeah. It's the way to go if you can, but budget friendly, Park Place, Best Western, Spring Hill Suites, Courtyard, that has a fun little water park. So that's fun. Those are our go-tos.
Now, do any of these places have the Churro waffles? Because those are game changing.
I don't think so. I don't think there's Churro waffles, but that sounds amazing.
I just recently on our last trip, during, I feel like, monsoon season, it was raining the entire time we were there, but at Crystal Palace, I discovered Churro waffles, and my life has never been the same since.
They sometimes have it there. It's not always that they do, and then they'll sometimes have it on Disney Cruise Line ships, too, but it's never consistent. So it's like my version of pixie dusting, food version.
Yeah, that's, I mean... Ellie,
but what they do have, but what they do have at Disneyland Resort, Kirsten, you correct me if I'm wrong, but the churros there supposedly are superior to the ones at Walt Disney World, and they're like a whole thing.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. Disneyland churros, you can't beat them. They're just the best. They really are. So add a churro and a waffle, and I'm sure the combination is amazing.
So they're not dry.
What's the difference?
No, they're just.
Oh my gosh. We're going to complain about them being dry.
Yes. Standards.
They are just delicious. It's worth spending. I think they're $5.50 now for a churro. So when we go, it's worth spending get everyone their own. When I was a kid, my mom, it would be like one churro. We all had to have a little piece, but no, you have to get your own.
That good, huh?
I mean, sounds like the pork egg rolls in Epcot. Kelsey and I have to get our own. So as we're talking about food, which is one of our favorite topics, restaurants at Downtown Disney. There are 21 dining options at Downtown Disney.
That's a lot in a very small space.
Mm-hmm. And that does include quick service and table service. Going through some of them, Kirsten, you mentioned one of them, that Blacktop Craft Burgers and Shakes.
Oh, yes.
The picture that they have on there looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks, it tastes as good as it looks, too. I mean, every time we go, it's a must-eat-at place. The burgers are huge, so you might want to share, because there are so many good things to eat at Disneyland, and the shakes as well. Like, you can go to a window and get just a shake, and they're huge, and they have, like, we got an Oreo one with this big, huge Oreo cookie thing on top. I mean, yeah.
I can see it in the picture. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
How does it compare to Deluxe Burger if you've ever had it at Disney Springs?
No?
You don't like it, Kelton?
I have not had Deluxe Burger, but I don't think I would stray from Black Tap. I think I would just have to stick with Black Tap after eating there.
Honestly,
I'm sorry. I would eat Earl's sandwich over Deluxe Burger.
Okay, well, now are you saying that Earl's sandwich is bad? I like Deluxe, but I also like Earl's sandwich. Yeah. Are you saying Earl's sandwich is bad?
No, I mean, I drag. It's usually my mom who will go with, you know, because Kenny's probably asleep somewhere, and you know, but it is straight Earl's sandwich every time we have to go. I mean, but for me, I'm sorry, but Deluxe Burger I can go down the road and get it cheaper at McDonald's.
They are very expensive. I will say that. I do think
I will say they're expensive. I think the quality is a little better than McDonald's, I would say, but of course, I'm also... At the same time, here in Charleston, we have a place called Sesame that is amazing burgers. So I invite all of y'all to come to Charleston and try Sesame burgers. But going on, some of the places that really looked interesting to me, the Jazz Kitchen Coastal Grill and Patio looked really, really good.
You want to get the beignets there.
And then I was also... You had me at beignets. Place called, there's another... Now, is that connected to... Because I see Beignets Expressed. Is Beignets Expressed a separate place, or is that connected to...
I was looking at Jazz that earlier Kitchen. Because Jazz Kitchen used to have their own window where you could just go up and get beignets. So I think this has replaced that.
Okay.
But I looked at their menu earlier, and they have a Bananas Foster glazed beignets. Right?
You Foster you had, as in what?
Like, you had me I'm at starving. Every one of those words.
Banana icing, cinnamon sugar, caramel drizzle, vanilla bean, cream, something that I don't know how to say.
So well, I want
to be right back. We're about to travel to California to try this. Yeah. So be back in about 20 hours.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we fly into John Wayne, so we could be there in lickety split.
That's the way to do it.
So there are two things that catch my eye here as I'm looking. One for the name, Diggity Dogs. I love that. Yes. I think that's great.
Yeah.
And then. Earl of Sandwich has a tavern. Like, tell me about this. Have you been, like, what kind of tavern are we talking?
Well, Earl of Sandwich was, I believe, an original to Downtown Disney, and then they took it out. So I think they just have a mobile location right now while they build the new location.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, because it was a
popular
one.
That's disappointing. I mean,
so what I'm seeing with that Earl of Sandwich Tavern, The description is, sit down for a full menu of delicious dining options. Enjoy tasty selections from the griddle for breakfast and scrumptious sandwiches, salads, and specialty menu items for lunch or dinner. With a full indoor bar, you can also pair your meal with signature cocktails, beer, or wine.
I would love to do a meal pairing with an alcoholic beverage of choice.
You know,
I think that'd be good.
Do you know the story behind the sandwich? Behind the Earl of Sandwiches? Or Earl of Sandwich?
No, please share.
So I read this earlier about how in 1762, the world's first fast food was named after its creator, John Montague, a noted explorer, a British naval commander, and the fourth Earl of Sandwich. And it's lore says that he loved to gamble. And so the sandwich was just born out of necessity, where he put his food in between two pieces of bread so that he could stay gambling all night long. And it says 250 years later, his descendants, the current 11th Earl of the Sandwich family, continue this family tradition of the sandwich. Isn't that fun?
Interesting story.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely hit up Earl of Sandwich.
Love that. Thanks for sharing. That is cool. Good. We love little history tidbits and fun facts.
So then another place to me that looked interesting too is the Tiquieta at Tortilla Joe's. That one looked interesting too.
Wait, can you repeat that for me one more time, please?
She's going to make fun of you.
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Just Tiquieta.
Taqueria.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. You gotta pronounce every letter.
Okay, Taqueria. Listen, I am from Georgia, and I am lucky enough to speak English to where people can understand me.
Now we speak American.
I'm not saying that. I was hesitant to even say it.
You put an I in there that I don't even know where it came from.
There's an I in there.
There is an I in there.
You did it, from what I understood, you said Tiqueria, something like that.
It didn't sound like that to me.
No, I have bad news about Tortilla Joe's.
Tiqueria? Oh.
Yeah, it's gone, right?
Bye-bye to Tortilla Joe's, which is sad because it was a really fun place. Yeah. The new... Paseo and Centrico. I'm probably butchering that one.
Oh no, you're doing good. You're doing good. A plus.
Yeah. So that's there.
But the gringo over expansion. Here. The gringo over here.
Okay. Listen, I can't say what I was going to say. I was just say, Kirsten is more exposed to the Mexican culture in California than you are in Georgia or South Carolina. I'm just saying. That's just the truth.
California, right. Yeah.
I mean, we have a pretty big Hispanic.
Do you really?
Have you ever been south of the border?
Huge.
I honestly did not know that. I swear. I live in Florida. It's a melting pot. Everyone here is from somewhere else. I did not expect that in Georgia or South Carolina. So sorry.
Well, what Kelton is referencing, you know, do you know real quick of south of the border between South Carolina and North Carolina?
Please keep it PG or G. No.
No. Okay. So the only way I can describe this place is a racist redneck heard about Mexico and decided to put up a county fair like tourist attraction and tried to make it as redneck and gringo as possible.
It's so bad. I'm not in a bad way, but it's just
a little bit like how Dino Land was like making fun of like a tourist attraction. That's kind of like south how south of the border. like they have a giant sombrero that you see, you can take an elevator up and like, yeah. Look it up in the This is typically how our podcast goes.
Well, stop making fun of us when we can't pronounce other, you know, listen, how to say other cultured words.
I was trying. I was legit. You trying. Did.
You get a gold star sticker, Brooks. I'm just gonna help you.
I'm just gonna say take a little my bit better and go. So
well, if it makes you feel any better, yeah, it's gone. So you don't have to worry about saying it anymore.
All right.
Should have just stuck with Tortilla Joe's.
I know.
Tortilla Joe's.
I'm sorry. That was on me, guys.
But also, so other than places to eat in downtown Disney, there are also plenty of places to shop in downtown Disney. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there's also 21 places to shop down at the downtown district. Looking through some of them, like you have California Soul, which looks like a like shoe flip-flop place. The Disney dress store, it looks interesting. I don't think that they don't have that. Well, it says it's temporary, relocated next to Disney Home. Okay.
The Disney dress shop, that kind of reminds me of like the co-op or something at at Disney Springs.
Same.
Yeah, lots of fun dresses and just regular merch too, t-shirts and yeah. You've got the World of Disney.
I did read that they have like the Lego store just like how we have here in Florida over at at Disney Springs. Yeah. However, there was a period of time in 2007 when Downtown Disney was supposed to get another like refurb because they were going to add a fourth Disneyland Resort hotel. It did not happen. So they ended up closing a few of these locations at Downtown Disney, but then they never opened them back up, even though this fourth hotel never got built either. One of those places is the Rainforest Cafe, just like how we have at Disney Springs. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's now the Rainforest Cafe is now the Star Wars shop, and it's really it's fun. It's rethemed, but Rainforest was a fun place. We ate there a few times. We still have the Lego store, so that's always a hit too. There's a line sometimes to get in. Just like actually when I was at Disney Springs, I was there in February and long line to get in. Same thing.
What I did think it was cool though from the Star Wars Trading Post, they have a picture of some of the Star Wars ships, or not ships, the motorcycles or mobile, what, I don't know what the heck it's called. Anyways, they've got like props from the movies. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool because we don't have that in the Disney Springs one.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember anything specific. My husband's a big Star Wars guy, so he'd be able to rattle it all off. But they had some cool things, definitely some cool merch too.
Love it. I love that they're doing the Season of the Force over there and that they're keeping the fireworks show indefinitely. Yay. That's cool.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Do you have like a when you go, other than World of Disney? Because I feel like all of us will always go to World of Disney when we're in either downtown Disney or Disney Springs. But is there like a store that you love to go that you only have there? Maybe?
I'm trying to think. There are.
Like, I'm surprised you guys don't have. Happily Ever After store. You know, you see it on all the different tour buses in Walt Disney World, and it's at Disney Springs. It's like jewelry and whatnot, but I feel like they do so much propaganda for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pandora. I'm surprised you don't have that equivalent.
You know, there's the Disney Home store. There's like some California surf shop type stores that will sell Quicksilver and Roxy and stuff like that. But it's, the scale is just not, you know, I wouldn't spend, I mean, I would spend most of my time at World of Disney. So
you actually were kind of about to answer a question I had in my mind from earlier. How long do you feel like people typically stay at Downtown Disney?
Yeah.
Because you can spend all day at Disney Springs, right. But from what I'm looking on the maps, you really wouldn't spend like a whole day, right?
Most of my clients will fly in and go to Downtown Disney. When we go, I would say a few hours. It depends on if you're eating a meal there. They'll have some live entertainment different times. There's lots of good photo ops. Especially when there's a seasonal display with like pumpkins or something fun. If you want to hit the Lego store, World of Disney, maybe a couple other shops, I would say like 3-ish hours. It can give you a pretty good feel. And just walking around, there's lots of pretty flowers and pretty atmosphere, fountains. So yeah, definitely not an all day thing like you've got out there in Florida.
So you were talking a bit about, you know, them having entertainment, like, you know, we can kind of compare it to Disney Springs, how at night, I mean, even on a Wednesday evening, you know, Disney Springs comes alive in multiple different locations in Orlando with entertainment. Yeah. So what about Downtown Disney at Disneyland? Like, what are we looking for entertainment wise? Maybe not just like, you know, thinking musical acts or things like that.
Yeah, I want to say I've really only seen music there when I've been there. Live music, different performers that in that regard. I can't recall.
So still kind of the same idea.
Yeah, same idea. I maybe they do some other shows here and there, but I haven't caught any of them.
Yeah. Another fun fact that I learned with that closure that happened in 2007, they also closed the movie theater that they had, like the AMC movie theater. That closed and never opened up again in Downtown Disney. So they don't have that entertainment anymore.
Nope. You've got the bowling alley, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, they still have Splitsville.
Yep.
I'm sure that draws in a lot of people, too, a lot of locals, especially if it's one of the few entertainment locations that you don't require a theme park ticket to.
Yep. Yep.
So with the entertainment, we talked about Splitsville, and Kirsten also mentioned the kind of like have a music, like a concert garden. That's part of the new expansion plans. And speaking of expansion plans, expansions are coming soon to Downtown Disney. And these expansions will include the following. Steph, take it away for the three new restaurants, because I'm not trying to pronounce these.
I promise I do like you, Brooks. And I'm not trying to be a meanie over here. But
I would just like to say, I don't think you're trying to be a meanie, but I do not want to mispronounce any more words tonight. So take it away, Steph.
All right. So it's really interesting. This expansion that they're doing in Downtown Disney, it's kind of been like slow phase throughout the summer, spring and summertime. The one that's opening up the soonest, I should say, is going to be a Mexican-inspired trio restaurant. So three new restaurants called Paseo, Centrico, and Tiendita, which, Kirsten, you were mentioning it earlier. These are replacing... Brooks, don't make that face, sir. Don't make that face. These are supposed to be, these ones that are supposed to be replacing the taco one that we were mentioning earlier? I don't even remember the name, the taqueria.
Yeah, if you click on Portillo Joe's, it takes you to a link that says so those two.
So I do actually have notes on Tortilla Joe's, but that's actually for another restaurant. So let me go back to Paseo Centrico and Tiendita. So these are confirmed to open on May 2nd, 2024. This trio of restaurants is brought to us, the hungry guests, by Mexico's first Michelin-starred chef, Carlos Gaitan. Paseo, the first of the three, will, and I quote, pair Chef Gaitan's love of Mexico with French culinary style and technique, end quote. At Centrico, guests will enter a courtyard bar and restaurant described as an, quote, energetic, central gathering place serving upscale Mexican cuisine and tequila-based cocktails, end quote. Kelton, I feel like that is the place for you. And lastly, Tiendita will be a fast food Mexican restaurant with a self-ordering kiosk. So basically two sit-downs and a quick service is what I'm gathering.
Brooks, I think that's going to be...
I mean, they all sound great.
Mm-hmm. Which one's your favorite, Brooks? All right, good talk.
I see what you're doing there.
No, I think it's going to be... And I mean, you know, so when they open up, we'll have to, you know, reach back out, Kirsten, to see, you know, kind of your thought. Hopefully you'll be able to go and attend one of these three excellent restaurants. I mean... You know, Michelin star, you know, restaurant, like, come on, like, that's going to be,
I'm excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have enough money to get out there to eat all these restaurants.
We don't have enough days to eat enough at all these places. Yeah. Right.
Forget the parks.
Yeah. So, and then it looks like there's a, another, restaurant that seems to
be a lot of restaurants, a lot of food places.
Yeah. Kelton, you want to take the next restaurant?
Nope.
Oh, listen, you guys.
I will try it. Ding Tai Fung.
That's as good as it's going to get.
Yeah. It's a Michelin awarded restaurant. A brand from Thailand and supposed to be opening this summer at Downtown Disney. So, and then two restaurant concepts have also been shared, a steakhouse and an adjacent barbecue eatery. And those are said to be located in the footprint at the former, at the former restaurant that I could not pronounce.
Tortilla Joe.
Yeah. So, I'm even
so these two restaurants are supposed to be. Oh, yeah. Brooks, stop. Tortilla, come on. So yeah, I did read that these two restaurants are supposed to take over where Tortilla Joe's used to be. So I don't know how big the space is because I was imagining something pretty small for Tortilla Joe's, like a food truck, but I guess I'm getting confused with what we have at Downtown Disney Springs, which we have like some Mexican food trucks on the west side. But clearly not, because if you can fit two restaurants, it wasn't that small.
Yeah, it's a pretty big restaurant, pretty big space. That's exciting to hear about a steakhouse because Steakhouse 55 closed, and so that's a need. We need a new one.
That's so sad to hear about that.
And then, I mean, like I said, there's a ton of new restaurants opening. We really don't have time to really get into all of them. If you want to learn more, you can go to the Disneyland website and learn more about the upcoming restaurants. Because, like I said, there are a lot that seem to be coming.
We can also post it up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll also put it on the Facebook. And then, real quick, special events. Currently, you can experience the Food and Wine Festival out there at Disneyland from March 1st to April 22nd. So, if you haven't been and you have a chance, go because it's going to be wrapping up here soon. And then, also, I wish they would bring this to Disney World, but Season of the Force, April 5th to June 2nd. You mentioned, I think
Downtown Disney has fireworks.
Yes.
Well, what I think is really cool too is that these special events isn't solely in the park, but they also kind of incorporate a bit of that in the Downtown Disney area where anyone can experience it, whether you go to the parks or not. So I think that's really cool, personally.
Yeah, definitely. Well, then, and plus, with it being kind of a smaller area, it is nice that every area has something, like, a little different. Disney World is a little more spread out, but with that being so close, everyone has their own kind of little thing. So, Kirsten, do you have any must-sees at Downtown Disney or any special tips or notes from a travel agent?
Yeah, that's a good question.
For Downtown Disney?
So, I think my tip would be if you are staying off-site, just with the limited on-site hotels, sometimes they sell out or whatever, for whatever reason you're off-site. One tip that I like to tell my clients is if you're needing to take an Uber or if you're over on the other side that's closer to walk to, say, Pixar Place or if you're taking an Uber, go to the Disneyland Hotel because the security line is way shorter there. And then once you're in, you can actually hop on the monorail right there and get into the Disneyland park and avoid the lines at the front. So yeah, that would probably be my tip is to take those, go through their security through Disney Springs so that you can save some time in the mornings, especially. So.
Hey, you need tips where you can spend as much time to the parks as possible is vital. Last question, at least for me, do you have a favorite memory maybe from Downtown Disney?
So yeah, you know what? I Tortilla Joe's that's gone now, but that's just been a gathering place that my husband, his parents are still down in San Diego. His sister lives in San Diego. And so anytime that we would go down to Disneyland, even if they didn't come to the parks with us, we would go to Downtown Disney and share a meal together. And so I just love Downtown Disney for that, just spending time with family and good food.
Yeah. I mean, I love good food. And maybe next time y'all go, you can try some of the new restaurants that are going
to
be
in. Oh, that'll be good. Yeah. Can't wait to hear about those.
Oh, yeah.
So my question is, sorry, Brooks, did I interrupt? Are you sure? Okay. Kirsten, of all the new places that we've talked about today and the ones that we didn't, what are you most excited about in this new expansion that we're expecting for Downtown Disney?
Yes. Okay. So the Thai restaurant, hands down. I love Thai food and it sounds like it's going to be amazing. So definitely top of my list to hit up. I don't know the name of it.
Please let us know when you do go.
Din
Tai Fung.
Yeah, that one.
Apparently, again, in my research for the show notes, their signature dish is like a soup dumpling. Ooh. Or dumpling soup.
Sounds good.
So you'll have to try that and let us know.
Yeah. Yep. I love me some pad thai, so I don't know. Maybe they'll have pad thai. We'll see. Be good.
That's my favorite dish ever.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Nice.
Oh man. Do you guys have any other questions for Kirsten?
No, I don't know about a question. I mean, I just love how the fact that Downtown Disney and Disneyland has a monorail station. Yes. I mean, what are we doing in Disney World? Like, come on, Bob Iger, get on the game here. Let's go.
It would be nice.
So
we need a Gideon.
Shout out to Disneyland.
Downtown Disney needs a Gideon's, and then we'd be set.
Oh yeah.
You know what?
You guys have that... salt and straw.
Yes, yes. That's true. Good
idea. And the beignets. We do not have the beignets. Because yeah. I want that beignet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really bad.
It gives us good a banana Foster beignet. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 It'll be good. Nope, that's all I got.
All right. Tell we well, love food at this podcast.
Right there with you.
Where we talk about all things travel, but mostly Disney food. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, that just about does it for this week's episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. Join us next week for a special Disney episode in honor of Earth Day. Mm. Don't forget to join our Mouse Ears Podcast Facebook group and our TikTok page for all the episode details. If you are interested in having a Fairy Tale Journeys agent book your next trip, visit fairytalejourneys.com and let them know that the podcast sent you. Lastly, if you like listening to us, we would love for you to leave us a review wherever you listen to us. Until next episode, thanks everyone. Bye.
Bye guys.
Bye everyone.